In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
Law and Order UK, Kentish Town, 2:14, Tuesday, January 22nd.
I can't get enough of that unique blend.
A young couple eat takeaway food as they walk. They kiss, then he looks in the bucket of fried chicken he's carrying.
What is it?
7 pieces. I paid for 9.
It's a mistake, that's all, doesn't matter.
Bastard ripped me off. That's not on.
No one eats 9 anyway. You throw up after 5. Scientific fact. Chris. Chris!
A man watches from a car as Chris and the girl stomp back into Chick Chick Chicken.
Chris!
Shit.
Are you joking right now? Piece of chicken.
Oi, you owe me
a... Shark! Get over there! Move! Give me the money! Hurry up! I said over there! You want to die? Oh, what's that?
Christ.
The man in the car dons a mask.
What are you doing, bastard? Give me the money! Come on! Chris, hurry up!
The robber, who wears a balaclava, points his gun.
Bullocks!
The robber edges out past the couple. The getaway driver starts the car.
You get back! You get back! Get down! Stay down! Get down!
The driver, also wearing a balaclava now, plows into another car, forcing them both to stop.
Come on!
Get out of the way!
The driver runs to the car he hit.
Ouch! Hurry! Get out of the car!
No!
Do it!
You need to put the gun down.
What's going on? Frontline! Jamie, behind you! Get in the car! You bloody idiot! You stop me! Get in the car!
Go on, drive or you're dead!
Go!
Brother Jamie shoots wildly and hits a man running towards him. Frank, the driver, is caught by a stray bullet. Frank and Jamie pile into the back of the car they hit and aim the gun at the driver's head. The car speeds off. A city skyline. Law. The police on the streets. Bradley Walsh is craggy-faced Senior Detective Sergeant Ronnie Brooks. Ruggedly handsome Junior Detective Sergeant Sam Casey, Paul Nichols. Harriet Walter as gaunt Detective Inspector Natalie Chandler. Order. Three lawyers walk towards court. Dominic Rowan as clean-cut Senior Crown Prosecutor Jacob Jake Thorne. Freema Agyeman as elegant Junior Crown Prosecutor Alicia Phillips. And Peter Davison as heavy-featured Director of London Crown Prosecution Service, Henry Sharp. Law and Order UK, this episode, Immune. Kentish Town 326, Sam interviews Chris and his girlfriend.
So you didn't get a good look at him, and he never took off the balaclava?
No.
I only wanted a couple of pieces of chicken.
Thanks.
Ronnie talks to the guy who was serving in Chick Chick Chicken.
What time?
It's about 2.
Just after the lunchtime rush.
How much they take?
A grand? Maybe more.
And anything you can remember about him at all?
He had a gun.
Anything else?
He had a gun.
Right. Thank you.
The blue Astra, that's the robber's car. We're running the plates.
Right, what about the car they got away in?
It was a silver Omega. No one saw the registration, but it was a cab. It had one of those pre-book only private eye stickers on the back window.
Yeah. And the driver?
Hostage, maybe.
Or Millstone?
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah, a couple of witnesses said the accomplice got hit by a stray bullet.
The dead man's photographed on the pavement.
Well, his mate shot him?
He was holding a gun like that, so zero control. And we should be grateful more people didn't get killed.
Yeah, well, one's enough. Right, Pete, what you got?
Gordon McKenzie, 44, Quincy surveyor. And according to this, he's on his way to a job interview.
Ended up trying to be a hero.
I'm sure that'll be a big comfort.
There's a family photo on him. MIU Central HQ.
We traced the Astra to a Jeff Miller. Said it was nicked from outside his flat where he left it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, his alibi's watertight. Time of the robbery, he was doing the 602 shift at a petrol station near Henley's Corner.
And he's got proof of that?
Oh, yeah. 3 colleagues. 8 cameras, thank you, and about 250 motorists.
What about the Omega driver, any news?
Not yet, of the driver or the car.
I was afraid of that.
The missing persons have been alerted, and we're checking every listed cab firm, see if any of their drivers have gone AWOL.
Maybe the driver's on his way home, see if there's a worried wife out there.
Yeah, and the bullets we retrieved from the scene are from a 9mm handgun, so that is the murder weapon we're looking for.
The gun wasn't on the scene, so the chances are they've still got it on them.
That's right.
We found the Omega cab firm.
GML Hire, Kentish Town.
Yeah, Mike is one of our best drivers. Always on time, always courteous. Punters love him.
And he never got home this afternoon?
Well, he had a pickup at Gatwick. It was a nightmare. Plane was delayed, so he'd been hanging around at the airport since the crack of dawn. So I just told him to drop the passenger off and then go home and get some shut-eye. His wife's been calling him on his mobile and getting nothing. When she's not calling him, she's calling me.
And what time was the drop-off?
About two.
Where was that?
The guy checks records on his desk.
Falkland Road.
It's round the corner from the chicken place.
What chicken place? Has something happened?
Michael Coombs, white male, 43, ex-army, 3 years in Afghanistan. It's the best mugshot we've got of him. It's from his taxi driver's licence.
We'll have a better one after we get back from his wife.
No need.
Natalie points, then enters a pleasant interview room where a dark-haired woman is sitting. Ronnie and Sam follow her in.
This is Mrs. Coombs, D.S. Brooks, D.S. Casey.
I called his work. They said you'd been there. Have you found him?
Well, we've got a lot of men looking, Mrs. Coombs.
How could he just disappear like that? Someone must have seen something.
And if they did, we will find them.
Yeah. Take a seat, please.
When was the last time you saw your husband?
This morning.
And anything out of the ordinary happen?
No. When he left, it was still dark. He didn't want to put the light on and disturb me. He kissed me. I went off to sleep. And it was later that I saw he'd forgotten his spare inhaler.
Right. So he's asthmatic, yeah?
Yeah.
Just a minute. Yes.
Please, carry on.
Well, he's had a couple of bad attacks. Hospitals, ventilators, the whole... It came on just after he got back from Afghanistan. They say there isn't a connection, but he was fine before he left.
Tash, would you mind taking Mrs. Coombs for a cup of tea? Thanks, we'll come find you in a minute. Thank you.
Tash, the woman police constable who's in the room, leads Mrs. Coombs out.
Just brought a bloke into Royal Caledonian A&E. They found him unconscious at King's Cross with 600 quid in his back pocket.
So?
He's been shot.
Royal Caledonian A&E 639.
They found him in the train toilet just before it pulled out. He'd lost a lot of blood. Here's what they found on him.
The nurse hands them a bag.
Frank Donovan, who lives half a mile from Jeff Millam in his blue Astra.
And where is he, please?
He's there. They're just about to take him into surgery.
Frank Donovan? What happened to the driver you kidnapped, Frank?
Not now.
What'd you do with him, Frank?
You'll have to wait.
Look, where is he before it's too late?
That's enough. I need to get this man in.
Listen, the man he kidnapped suffers from asthma. He could be in danger. He could be hurt. We need him to tell us where he is.
After surgery.
And if he doesn't make it?
Frank's wheeled away. The waiting room clock now reads 9:08. Sam approaches Ronnie, who's sitting reading a newspaper in the waiting room.
Frank Donovan, he's got form, but low-rent stuff. He did a stretch for ABH a couple of years ago. Nothing since then.
Right. Well, he's certainly making up for lost time today, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, you think if we ever find him, Michael Coombs will be needing that inhaler again?
I think this is a robbery that's gone badly out of control. I think we're dealing with desperate men with shooters, which is never a good combo, but I honestly think... Until there is a body, Sam, there is hope.
A man wearing scrubs comes out to them.
Here we go. How is he?
He'd been bleeding internally for hours.
And the bullet? Is he awake?
He's just out of surgery, Detective. He's lost a lot of blood. What
is he awake?
The doctor nods.
Thank you.
Go easy on him. Nurse?
Excuse us, thank you.
Frank's propped up in bed in a recovery room with drips and monitors attached to him.
Hello, Frank. Michael Coombs. Tell us where he is. We can get some more rest.
Can you pass me that drink, Alan?
Sam gets a glass of water from the tray at the bottom of Frank's bed and hands it to Frank, who puts the straw in the glass to his lips and winces as he sucks.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't remember the robbery? Shooting? Man you kidnapped?
See, this is all news to me.
How'd you explain getting shot then?
It must have been kids, you know.
Ronnie takes the water away.
Thank you. Best you can do, is it, Frank? You think this is the first day on the job for us, do you?
How'd you explain the money, Frank? Hey? 600 quid cash.
I'm on it on the horses.
What horse? What race?
Ask my lawyer.
Miriam Pescatore.
She'll know.
Ronnie bangs a hospital drinks machine.
Come on. What is that?
Can we avoid assaulting the beverage dispenser, Ron?
Hello, Gov.
I've got Audrey Coombs ringing me every 10 minutes. I've got the local press who've got the story. I was hoping you had something for me.
He wants his lawyer. Come on, Gov.
So, they retrieved the bullet?
No, it was through and through.
It might be in the Omega when we find it.
Let's hope so. So far, we're looking a little flat-footed.
Any traces from the Astra?
Nothing yet. No prints, no DNA, nothing to link Frank Donovan to the crime.
Although, Mr. Donovan doesn't know that, does he?
With Frank?
So, Michael Coombs, where is he?
Or did you kill him too?
We've got traces of your DNA, Frank, all over that Astra.
He puts you at the scene of the crime. Where's my lawyer?
Robbery and murder. That's right, yeah, murder. The guy who got shot at the scene's dead. So now there's a mum trying to explain to her two kids why Dad isn't ever coming home again.
Doesn't matter who actually pulled the trigger. We can get you on joint enterprise.
That means life.
So don't make it any worse than it is, Frank. Where is he?
Stilettos approach.
You know Michael Coombs is a war veteran, do you know that? Time in Afghanistan. Doesn't deserve this, does he? No. Do one good thing today, eh? Help yourself, Frank. Tell us where you left Michael Coombs.
There's only one person helping himself, Detective. Interviewing my client without legal representation. Naughty.
Well, now you're here. So where is he, Frank?
Frank nods Miriam Pescatore towards him. She bends and he whispers in her ear. Miriam nods and straightens.
We need to wait the CPS.
Sam and Ronnie accompany a grumpy-looking Alicia down a corridor.
We know what he's after. Don't give him a thing.
Why don't we hear what he has to say first?
Because he lies like other people breathe.
We don't do deals.
Sure you do. Ever since the Serious and Organised Crime and Police Act of 2005 made provision for an immunity agreement.
But that's...
We want a piece of it.
A piece? Do you know what I want a piece of?
Sign this and he'll tell you the whereabouts of Michael Coombs.
Dead or alive?
My client swears the last time he saw Mr. Coombs, he was very much alive.
He's seen our faces. And he said we tied him up, gives a bit of time to get away.
And how long were you planning on leaving him?
He has bad asthma.
Well, then it's in your interest to find him, innit, before it's too late.
Yours too.
Also, the name of your accomplice, his address, everything you have on him, and you'll turn Queen's evidence against him at trial.
We have no problem with that. Just sign and you get it all.
We draw up the contract, you don't.
Contract.
Fine, word it how you like, but it has to include these conditions, and unless I'm happy with
you're
it...
You're happy?
This isn't a negotiation.
In return for information relating to the whereabouts of Michael Coombs, I, Frank Donovan, will plead guilty to manslaughter for all crimes related to the holdup of Chick Chick Chicken.
Manslaughter? For killing an innocent bystander?
Wait, do you want to...
Shut up, shut your face.
Sorry.
Look, why are we even considering this? We charge them. Isn't that how it's supposed to work? Since when did some lying piece of shit get to decide?
Tear it up, then. If you think it's such a waste of time, let's forget all about it.
She nods towards something.
Bin's there.
Crown Prosecution Service, City of London, Wednesday, January 23rd, 2:04 a.m. in Henry's office.
I don't like it.
Nobody likes it.
Then let's not do it.
And if Michael Coombs dies?
What makes you think you can trust Frank Donovan? You've only got his word that Coombs was alive when he left him.
Natalie.
I say we give Donovan what he wants now, and if it doesn't work out, we throw the book at him.
And set what sort of precedent? What does that say about us?
We're not for sale.
It's not as simple as that.
It is for Mrs. Coombs.
If this man dies and it comes out, we could have saved him. How does that make us look?
Who cares how it looks?
Watch his widow on the 10 o'clock news, then ask me that. When was Coombs taken?
Around 2 p.m., 12 hours ago.
So, make the deal and maybe save this man's life, and he may already be dead, and I will have granted his killer immunity.
Or don't do the deal and pray that he doesn't die while we're out looking for him, assuming that we ever do find him.
Alicia?
We proceed as if he's alive.
Jake.
I agree.
Draw up the wording. I need to see it before we make the deal. You've got 10 hours. We'll sign at noon.
Search the messy flat.
Who lives in an armpit like this?
Not Frank Donovan. At least not for a few days, anyway. Yuck. There's a cure for something wrong in there.
Ronnie points to the fridge he's just checked. They head into a bed sitting room. Sam searches through crumpled bedding.
Anything?
No. Just junk. flyers and stuff.
10 hours. 10 hours. What are we, miracle workers?
On a daily basis, sir.
Needles and haystacks.
Rabbits and hats, son.
Okay, where next?
Well, there's only one other address on Crimint. It belongs to his mum.
Lansmere Road, Manor Park, Wednesday, January 23rd, 3:36 a.m. Sam and Ronnie pull up near to a gate in mesh fencing and get out.
Well, it doesn't look like somewhere where my mum had lived.
23 Lansmere Road, right?
That's what it said.
Stupid. Someone's typed it into Crimint wrong.
Oh, you think?
There's derelict ground around the fence.
Oh, how are we meant to do this? I mean, what, wait until everyone wakes up?
We've got 8 hours left.
Right, hang on a minute. Let's come at it from another angle, eh? Friends and associates.
He was in prison, right?
Yeah, wardingly, handling stolen goods.
So he had visitors?
Who had to fill in visitors' orders and give their addresses.
But it's a prison. I mean, they're not just going to let us walk in and out.
But I know a man who can. Come on.
A man enters a cafe and goes to Ronnie and Sam. The clock shows nearly 4:20 a.m.
Morning, mate.
Oh, hey, thanks for coming, mate. How's the missus?
Good as gold, yeah.
The man secretly hands over a file.
I'm not doing this one.
And I appreciate you not doing it, Pete. Thank you.
Sam checks a prison visitor order in the file Pete's handed over.
Right, his mum's address is 23 Lansmere Grove.
Sam hands the file back to Pete.
Great. I won't forget it.
Yeah, you will. Bowl reminder.
Cheers, Pete.
Thank you.
Home of Maggie Donovan, Vauxhall, January 23rd, 6:09 a.m. At a block of council flats, Ronnie knocks on a door.
Shut up! Who is it?
Is Maggie there, please?
Who wants to know?
The police.
It's a bit early, isn't it? Wait, where's your ID?
Ronnie shows it to the bare-chested man as they barge in.
Please shut that dog up.
You need a warrant, you're trespassing.
You see, everyone's a lawyer. Where's Maggie Donovan?
Who wants to know?
Police. Whereabouts does your Frankie live, Maggie?
Don't tell him anything.
Be quiet.
There's no obligation to
He is dangerously out of control. That's a criminal offence.
The Dangerous Dog Act only covers public places. Samson ain't in a public place.
Oi, oi, come on!
Sam drags the dog away on its lead.
Oi, don't put my ass down, it's lonely!
He puts the bull terrier outside.
Samson!
He is now.
So, Frank, he's not staying at his own flat, so where else does he stay?
What's he mean, Gerald? What's a criminal offence?
Gerald?
Where does Frankie stop? Maggie, please.
Nothing, mum. Shot it, Gerald.
Police intimidation, that's what this is.
Really? Does Samson look like a band breed to you?
Well, he's certainly got the right characteristics.
Absolutely. That's 2 years right there.
Don't listen to him, mum.
So, Samson gets destroyed and Gerald here does some real time. Unless, of course, Maggie, you want to tell us where Frankie is actually living.
No.
Come on, Maggie.
Mum, don't say
He sometimes stays with his girlfriend in Whetstone.
Home of Katie Runyon, Whetstone, 8:25 a.m. on Katie's doorstep.
He's been straight for years. He promised me. God. I mean, he's got his life back. He's studying and everything.
Studying?
He's doing a part-time law degree at Birkbeck. It's all gone to waste now.
Trust me, it hasn't. Did you see him at all yesterday?
I wish I had. Then I could have... He's been so stupid.
Well, did you speak to him then?
He called me in the afternoon, said he needed my van. I work for the council, Parks and Gardens.
Did he do that often?
He borrowed it sometimes. I do private gardens too, cash in hand, and he helps me with that. He said he was dropping off some bedding plants and he'd be back in half an hour. He used the spare keys.
And when were you going to report the van missing?
Well, why would I? He brought it back, like he said.
She nods towards a van. The cops open the tailgate.
Nah, nothing.
Too much to hope for, wasn't it?
Where's my saplings?
Sorry?
There's half a dozen saplings in here and a tarpaulin.
Right. Sam? There's blood here. Can you get forensics?
Yeah, we'll do.
Blood? But I've got to get up Topridge Common. We're clearing the woods.
Nah, not in that van, you're not.
Why would he do that? Just wake up one day and just decide to...
Look. Frank had an accomplice yesterday, carried a gun. Does he know anyone like that?
No, I don't think so.
Sure, think back. Maybe from the old times. Maybe you did time in Nickwith or something.
Jamie Harper.
Him and Frank were cellmates. I met him a couple of times. He was a right thug. Frank said he pitied him, said Jamie was unlucky.
Right. James Harper, nasty piece of work, 4 previous for assault and possession.
Got the address. Just need a warrant.
Natalie checks her watch.
2 hours left till we agree the deal.
I'll sign it.
She signs the warrant, then hands it back to Sam. Ronnie smiles. Armed police with a battering ram hurry to the door of a flat on an outside landing.
On police! On police!
James Harper, Michael Coombs.
Clear! Clear! Clear!
Go on in.
The place is a mess.
Right, lads, quick as you can. Just check under the sofa for me, can you? Thank you. We need anything that gives us a clue to Michael Coombs' whereabouts.
A uniformed cop and Sam check the living room. Sam finds bullets in a tin.
Bingo.
Wearing forensic gloves, Sam holds a bullet between his thumb and index finger and studies it.
9mm.
Looks like Harper's done a runner. We're pretty sure Frank used his girlfriend's van to move the hostage, but he was only gone half an hour, which means Coombs must be near.
We need more time.
Well, it's gone 11.
Oh, Jake, we're so close. Give us to the end of the day.
Leave it with me.
Alicia enters with Mrs. Coombs.
This is Mrs. Coombs.
Mrs. Coombs, would you like...
Is it true you could have rescued my husband by now? That you could have made a deal?
Well, who told you that?
I got a call from a Miriam Pescatore. She's representing one of the men we think are responsible for your husband's disappearance.
And she had no business talking to
you. Who cares? Michael could have been safe all this time. Who do you think you are?
We don't make deals with criminals, Mrs. Coombs. That's not how we do things.
Don't you dare talk to me about policy. This is real. It's my husband all alone out there, and no one is looking for him.
There are a lot of people looking for him.
But they don't know where he is, do they? And all this time, the answer's there just waiting to be asked.
Mrs. Coombs.
So ask.
Henry.
Thanks. Miriam Pescatore has been busy, hasn't she? Audrey Coombs, the 24-hour news channels and most of the newspapers are wanting to know why it is we don't care if a war hero lives or dies.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
It's an angle and it'll sell.
They're closing in. They've narrowed it down to somewhere near Frank Donovan's girlfriend.
The police need more time.
The deadline was midday. We tried, Jake.
They found the Omega.
Ashton Vale, Whetstone, 1:34 p.m. Sam and Ronnie stand beside the burnt-out Omega, which forensics people in protective suits are searching. Ronnie speaks to Jake, who walks up to them.
No sign of a body in there.
They must have transferred Coombs to the van.
And took him where?
The cops stare ahead.
There's no way they'll retrieve anything. Right, it's gone 1:30. I'm sorry, you did your best, but you've got nothing.
Jake marches off. Sam and Ronnie look disappointed. Jake stands at Frank's bedside, signing a document in a file, which he snaps shut and hands to Miriam. He talks to Frank.
Where is he?
Can I say?
Now you can.
It was Jamie's idea, right? Turning over the chicken place.
Jamie.
James Harper. Should have gone like clockwork. We waited till lunchtime, crowd had gone. We knew the till would be full. Place was empty. Then them two kids came back. We took the car, hid the driver, and then we split up.
Where's Michael Coombs?
Edmonton.
Valence Road.
In a lockup.
Valence Road, Edmonton, 3:57 p.m. Police cars and an ambulance are outside the lockups. Ronnie ends a call at the scene.
OK, that's great. Thank you very much. The blood in the back of the van belongs to Frank Donovan.
You know what? There's no way he could have got here and back to his girlfriend's gaff in half an hour.
No. So, if he didn't use the van to dump Coombs, what did he use it for? How are you getting on, lads?
Good evening.
Right. Come on, then. Thank you. Right, in you go, boys.
Come on,
the cops aim their rifles as they proceed. The torches on their rifles glow in the darkness.
Michael Coombs!
Michael!
Michael!
Over here, sir!
Is he alive?
Paramedics in here, quick!
There's no pulse, sir.
Michael lies naked on his stomach, thick streaks of blood running from a wound on his head have dried. His eyes are half open and staring. Beside him is an inhaler.
Someone hit him.
Hard. So that was the cause of death.
And the fact that he was naked?
This wasn't a sexual attack. My guess? They burnt his clothes so there'd be no DNA.
Like the Omega. They knew what they were doing.
When did he die?
Body's cold, maximum lividity, and I've got maggots hatching in the mouth and nose.
Or more than 24 hours?
Easily.
Lily goes. Alicia turns to Jake.
But that means...
Yeah.
Jake notes Sam and Ronnie glaring over at them from the lock-up doorway. In Henry's office...
Frank Donovan knew Michael Coombs was already dead when he made the deal. We got played.
So throw it out. It's worthless.
Just like that?
Of course, just like that.
Wait, what happened to precedent? Worrying about how we'll look?
Well, that was before I knew Donovan had killed Coombs and left him naked on some filthy floor to rot. No dignity, nothing.
So if the crime's bad enough, different rules apply?
He stripped his victim just to cover his tracks. He only told us where Coombs was because he could see an angle. Damn right the crime's bad enough.
Really, because I don't remember anything about sliding scale.
Not now.
If we break this agreement, no one will trust us. What happens next time?
Well, that's when we'll worry about it. Right now, I'm more worried about being sucker-punched by Frank Donovan. I want you to go into the plea and case management swinging. Hurt him.
Plea and case management hearing, January 28th.
You are Frank Donovan?
I am.
You're charged on the indictment, which contains two counts of murder, one of robbery, and one of possession of a firearm with intent to endanger life.
What?
I'm sorry, there's been some sort of mistake, m'lady. We have a signed agreement with the CPS. The charge is manslaughter.
Mr. Thorne?
There's been no mistake, my lady.
What? You signed it.
The charges stand, my lady.
But this agreement...
It's meaningless.
It's binding.
It's a discussion for another time.
At the police station...
They watched on the deal.
Got Donovan for murder, robbery, the works.
Ah. Who says the CPS doesn't have a backbone?
You did about an hour ago.
So, now we could do with some evidence.
Well, we have got the confession.
That's all we've got at the moment. Let's give ourselves a safety net. Start with the witnesses. See if we can't get someone to pick Frank out in an ID parade.
Chris is shown a digitalised ID parade.
Just tell us when you recognise any of these guys, please.
Frank is among them.
Number two.
Not Frank.
No, number four.
That's not Frank either.
I mean, it might be two. I'm not sure. I just caught a glimpse through the window. Sorry, mate.
It's all right.
Sam smiles and steers Chris away. Miriam looks smug.
So, none of your witnesses can make a positive ID.
She faces Ronnie and Natalie.
Thank you. It's been very informative.
Miriam walks off down the corridor past Sam, who rejoins Natalie and Ronnie.
What about the kid behind the counter?
Well, he never went outside.
He could have got a glimpse through the window too, you never know.
Chick Chick Chicken, Tuesday, January 29th.
An ID parade? But I never saw the other bloke.
Well, it might help jog your memory.
No, but I didn't go outside. Why would I? Guns firing. I'm not that stupid.
Yeah, you are.
I'll give it a rest.
First rule. At the end of the lunchtime rush, empty the till and put the takings in the safe at the back.
Yeah, yeah.
How hard is that?
Which you didn't do.
Do me sister a favour, take on her waste of space kid who can't hold down a job. This is how he repays me.
I told you, I didn't have a chance. The place was busy, non-stop.
Ronnie and Sam exchange a look.
We'll see if you can't pick him out. Might surprise yourself.
Sam steers the lad out. Ronnie smiles politely at the uncle and leaves. Sam waits until they're in an alleyway.
Yeah, car's just round here, Billy. It won't take that long.
Look, lying to us is very different from lying to your uncle, Billy.
I'm not lying.
No? All the witnesses said it wasn't busy. You said it wasn't busy.
Well, why would I lie?
Because you did put the money back in the safe like you were taught, yeah? Only after the robbery you helped yourself to it and claimed the robbers cleaned you out.
No.
It makes you part of the robbery.
No, you're kidding.
An accessory after the fact, Billy. Accessorius post factum, they call it in law. And unluckily for you, the factum in this particular case is murder.
No, I didn't shoot anyone.
You witness a crime. Somebody dies. For you, that's an opportunity. Do you know how warm that makes us feel?
So, be completely honest with us, put the money back, and we'll keep what you did to ourselves. Okay?
Billy's against a roller shutter.
Okay.
Now, how much did they really take?
600 quid. Is that it?
Yeah. So the £600 we found on Donovan weren't his share of the takings at all.
No. But all of it.
Yeah.
We know Donovan used his girlfriend's van. The blood in the back confirms that, right? We thought it was to move Michael Coombs' body, right?
Yeah, until we found him miles away.
Yeah, well, what if it wasn't Michael Coombs' body he was moving?
You think Donovan murdered Harper?
Can't see Harper handing Frank his share to invest wisely on his behalf, can you?
No. All right, so Donovan uses the van to move Harper where?
He knew his girlfriend was working up on Totteridge Common, right?
Absolutely.
See, no one would question seeing her van up there in the woods.
Totteridge Common, Wednesday, January 30th.
Wouldn't take much.
No?
Nah. You follow the track off the main road. It's just a council working around here, nothing suspicious.
Yeah, I suppose. You'd drag the body in and out, maybe 10 minutes.
What, even though he'd been shot?
Well, if he's bleeding slow enough and he's desperate enough.
Over here! Here we go.
Cops draw back a cover to reveal a man with a beard and bloody neck. He's bare-chested.
Jamie Harper.
Now, Frank was right. Wasn't very lucky, was he?
Plea and case management hearing, 30th of January.
This was a signed immunity agreement, my lady.
Made invalid because Frank Donovan knew Michael Coombs was already dead.
And you have proof of that?
He should be prosecuted for the crime to which he has confessed.
But the Crown only got that confession because of the agreement they made, my lady. If they are now reneging on the agreement, they cannot expect to benefit from anything gained as a result of that agreement.
My lady, he lied.
If they are allowed to withdraw the agreement, I respectfully submit that the confession should also be excluded.
She has a point, Mr. Thorne.
Frank Donovan confessed.
Because he believed himself protected by the agreement. If you honour the agreement, you can keep the confession. Back out of it, and you lose the confession as well. Choose which you want. You can't have it both ways.
And since the entire case is built on this confession, it follows that should it be excluded, there is in fact no case to answer.
Alicia enters and whispers to Jake.
My lady, may I request a moment to confer?
Quickly, Mr. Thorne. We're agog.
Jake goes to Ronnie and Sam, who've entered.
I need physical evidence. What have you found?
Does Jamie Harper count?
Will he give evidence?
He's dead. We just found him.
Don't tell me.
What?
I don't want to know.
Jake, wearing wig and robes, goes back to his position in the court, which has no public gallery. Sam and Ronnie stand watching at the back.
My lady, the Crown withdraws its objections to the immunity agreement. We agree to alter the indictment to reflect one count of manslaughter and accept the plea of guilty. Crown offers no further evidence.
Very well. Sentencing will be in 2 weeks.
Sam has stormed out. He and Ronnie greet Alicia and Jake at the bottom of steps in the Old Bailey.
He kills three people, gets manslaughter.
Well, gotta say, guys, you prosecuted the hell out of that one.
Three? I only know of two murders he was involved in. Gordon McKenzie at the scene and Michael Coombs.
And killed James Harper as well.
And you can prove that, can you? Got any witnesses who put them together the day Harper died? I have. Frank Donovan himself.
His confession.
Where he admits to being with James Harper, an admission I wouldn't have if I hadn't also allowed the agreement, an admission I can use when we charge him with the murder of James Harper.
So, Donovan gets away with the killing of the innocent bystander McKenzie, but then goes down for murdering James Harper.
Justice is blind. Sometimes a little bit sneaky.
Not in a million years.
I've got his confession, remember?
And I have the agreement.
Which you know full well was never meant to cover a situation like this.
I have no idea it was so selective.
Terrorists, Miriam. It's there so we can make deals, prevent widespread carnage, and save lives. Not so the low-rent scum like Frank Donovan can get off.
This is the system, and it doesn't discriminate. And it doesn't stop just because you don't like it.
Win at all costs, is that it?
No. Just within the law.
And you think that's what Frank Donovan deserves?
I think it's what he's entitled to.
You know this is irrelevant.
Really? All crimes related to events at the chicken.
This is unrelated.
Crap, with respect.
Two events, miles away, hours apart.
Part of the same crime and so caught by the agreement.
One's a robbery, the other's murder. Where's the connection?
Miriam takes a file from her briefcase and glances at it.
Abuse of process. You can hear the connection in court.
She's passed the file over. The lawyers stare. Frank's on the witness stand.
I needed the money.
Why?
I borrowed some from someone local. Pay off my gambling debts. He wanted it back.
You mean a loan shark?
He said he broke my legs.
So you decided to steal the money?
It was Jamie's idea to do the chicken place.
James Harper, your former cellmate?
Yeah. He said it was ideal. There's a school just down the road, so he means it's always busy at lunchtime. Doddle.
So what happened?
Jamie blew it. He was wired. I could tell that moment I saw him. He went in, panicked. He only got like 600 quid, then he's outside shooting a gun. We grabbed the driver, got away. Jamie's all over the place. He's shouting and screaming.
And after that?
We dumped the driver, torched the car. By now, I found out my share's only going to be 300. What good's that? I needed it all. I tried explaining it to him, but there's no way he was going to give me his share.
So what did you do?
I killed him.
The judge stares at Frank. Alicia and Jake look peeved.
Because you needed the money?
Yeah.
Which is why you robbed Chick Chick Chicken in the first place?
Yeah.
You killed James Harper as a direct result of what happened there?
Yeah. I didn't have a choice.
In Henry's office at the CPS.
So let me get this straight. Donovan confessed to a murder to avoid being prosecuted for that murder. How the hell did we get here?
The loan shark story pans out. Reckons Donovan owed him over a grand, denies the bit about breaking his knees, of course.
Which makes it part of the same crime. So by backing down and allowing the immunity agreement to stand, you let Frank Donovan off the hook for James Harper's murder.
That wasn't what I intended.
Remind me again, this is the Crown Prosecution Service, right? For God's sake, I said hurt him, not give him a get-out-of-jail-free card.
It isn't over yet. If I can prove that I didn't know James Harper had been murdered, I can argue I wasn't in possession of all the facts when I decided to let the agreement stand.
Bet everyone saw you talk to the police before that.
Didn't hear what they said, though.
Tread with care.
Miriam Pescatore thinks you can go about crying abuse of process. It's not me that needs to tread carefully.
MIU Central HQ, 5th of February.
So he could avoid the Harper murder as well?
Not if I can help it.
Just because of that agreement? Because if you'd not made it like we'd said...
I can still get Donovan for Harper's murder if I can show that I didn't know that it was murder.
We told you.
Told me what?
That's why you stopped us telling you anything in the court. You know it might come to this.
It was a possibility.
Slippy.
Legal bollocks.
Which will put Donovan behind bars. We'll have to give evidence.
Commit perjury, you mean?
No one's asking you to do that.
No? You're asking us to risk everything so you don't feel so guilty about making the arrangement in the first place.
You only need one of us to give evidence, right?
Probably.
Okay.
Ronnie takes off his specs.
Tell me where and when. I mean, doubling up would be a criminal waste of manpower, wouldn't it?
Crown v. Donovan plea and management hearing, Friday, February the 8th.
I had the briefest of conversations with Detective Sergeants Brooks and Casey.
And they told you what?
That James Harper was dead.
Nothing else?
You'll remember, my lady, you were keen for me to keep it brief.
And when you heard that, what was your reaction?
I was disappointed. I was hoping we would apprehend Mr. Harper and use his evidence to secure a successful conviction against Mr. Donovan. With his death, any such hope disappeared. I accepted the immunity agreement as the best of a bad situation.
Did you not think that Frank Donovan had killed James Harper?
I didn't even know he'd been murdered. Merely that he was dead.
Thank you.
Alicia sits down. Miriam rises abruptly and looks indignant.
Merely that he was dead.
That's right.
What do you think he died of? Old age? Broken heart.
My lady.
Rein in the sarcasm, Miss Pescatore.
A violent man dies. Did you not make room for the possibility that he himself might have died violently?
I try to avoid assumptions. You never know when they're going to trip you up.
Miriam glares.
You never said James Harper had been killed?
No.
Even though he'd been shot in the back of the head?
That is correct.
I'd say that was quite an important aspect of the case. Do you make a habit of burying the lead?
My lady.
Nothing further.
Mr. Thorne?
We have no further witnesses.
Miss Pescatore?
Well, as there's one person we haven't heard from, yes. We call Detective Sergeant Casey.
Alicia and Jake look alarmed. Ronnie raises an eyebrow and looks towards the door. Sam is in the washroom straightening his tie when a tannoy sounds.
Detective Sergeant Sam Casey to court number one. Detective Sergeant Sam Casey to court number one.
The clerk of the court leads Sam to the witness box and shows him a card. Sam, looking tense, steps up into the witness box and lays his hand on a Bible as he reads from the card.
I swear by Almighty God that the evidence I shall give shall be the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Alicia and Jake sit staring at him. There's still no public. Bewigged, Miriam rises.
Detective Sergeant Casey, you discovered the body of James Harper in Woodland up in Totteridge Common, is that right?
Yes.
And it was such a significant discovery that you came down here to the Old Bailey as a matter of some urgency.
I suppose.
So urgent, in fact, that you entered a hearing so that you could tell Mr. Thorne in person.
Yes, I did.
So I'm asking you, D.S. Casey, after dashing down here from North London, after entering a hearing in progress, did you tell Mr. Thorne that James Harper had been murdered? I remind you, you are under oath.
Sam coolly looks towards Jake, who stares at him with worried eyes and pinched brow. Miriam smiles smugly.
No.
Jake looks secretly relieved.
No?
No. I don't believe we did.
You find a man who has been murdered. You race down here to share that information. Enter a proceeding to do so, and you neglect to use the word murdered?
I didn't think it was necessary. It was implied.
You implied that James Harper had been murdered?
Yes. But that's what we do. Just about every death we're involved in is murder. I thought Mr. Thorne would know what I meant. I was wrong. He's obviously not as smart as he lets on. So I suppose it's my mistake. It's habit. You just assume someone can tell what you're really saying without having to use the word.
Really? I wonder if you can tell what I'm really saying right now.
Plea and case management hearing, Monday, February 11th.
I've listened to the evidence given by both the Crown and the defence, and on balance, I'm inclined to favour two serving police officers and an officer of the court over a convicted criminal. I can see no evidence that an abuse of process occurred. I'm going to allow the prosecution of Frank Donovan for the murder of James Harper.
Jake looks quietly triumphant.
Court will rise.
All the lawyers rise and bow to the bench. Frank throws Jake a bitter look as an officer steers him away. As everyone disperses, Miriam pauses as she passes Jake.
Got it all sewn up neatly.
Your client's a murderer, Miriam.
He also deserved a fair trial.
Something you tried every trick in the book to avoid.
You sandbagged me.
I'll live with that.
He flounces out. Sam and Ronnie are talking in the Old Bailey foyer. Jake, minus wig but still in robes and carrying a bag hooked over his shoulder, approaches them.
Jake? Thank you.
I could have got fired because of what I did in there.
Frank Donovan will get life because of what you did in there. Strictly speaking, it wasn't perjury.
We both know what that was.
You did the right thing.
What, the ends justify the means?
Sometimes.
Yeah, but the trick is knowing when.
Yeah, the trick is knowing when.
Jake's about to turn away, but turns back to Sam.
Not as smart as I let on.
Yeah. I quite enjoyed that.
Jake raises his eyebrows, shrugs, nods farewell and walks off, smiling to himself. Ronnie walks up beside Sam and they watch Jake go. The characters and events in this film are entirely fictitious, and accordingly any similarity between them and actual characters or events is entirely coincidental. ITFC audio description.